2 Timothy chapter 3 in your Bibles this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The days that precede the rapture are days filled with trouble. We know because we are there. History is declared irrelevant. It's the cancel culture mentality. Restraints are cast off. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That's speaking about us. Today's internet describes the days in which we live. The Bible also describes it perfectly. We're going to be looking at that this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's read the first four verses here. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Folks, we're living in those days. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. We're living in those days. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but not the true form of godliness, denying the power thereof, from such turn away. The word perilous, ladies and gentlemen, means dangerous and painful and tragic and grievous, and we are living in those days. I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. And verse 27, Luke 23, verse 27. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Ladies and gentlemen, I've lived long enough to see the fulfillment of that prophecy. I've heard parents stand before me and say something like this: I wish she had never been born because of all the hurt and the heartache she has caused her mother and myself. And how sad. How sad is that? And not just once, I've heard that several times through the years. It's a fulfillment of this prophecy. Now go with me to Romans chapter 1. I'm setting a background here, folks. Romans chapter 1. And let's begin reading in verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind simply means this: you cannot differentiate between good and evil, between right and wrong. You call evil good and good evil. That's a reprobate mind. And folks, unless you're living in some kind of a box, you know that that's going on today, where they call abortion right, that it's a good economic thing. For this cause, God gave them unto vile affections in verse 26. Now back to verse 28. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, and boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. In verse 31, the Bible says, without understanding, that's senseless, covenant breakers, faithless, without natural affection, heartless, implacable, truceless, unmerciful, ruthless. Folks, we're living in these days. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 3 now. 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's begin reading in verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. It's talking about the flood in Noah's day. How God destroyed this world by water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. God will not destroy this world by water again. He promised that. The next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's by fire. Okay? But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So I want to give you four thoughts, four observations about the times in which we are living. First of all, the enemy is hard at work. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 says this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Your adversary, the devil. He's not just the high profile people's adversary. He's your adversary. He will attack you every morning and every night. He's not interested in just an afternoon snack. He's not just trying to bother you a little bit. He is looking, according to the Bible, to devour you, to destroy you, to eat you alive. That's the Word of God, folks. And then let's go to 1 Peter 5, 8 and look at verse 9 now. The Bible says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You are to resist this roaring lion. And if you are going to resist, you have to be strong in the faith. The Bible and convictions must mean something to you. This book and what you've been taught since you were a little kid about loving God and loving people and staying strong, that has to mean something to you, or you will be absolutely devoured. I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Here's the deal. Matthew chapter 10, and look at verse 16. This is the Lord speaking, and he says to us, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." You're not going to last very long. A sheep in the midst of wolves. You ever watch the Discovery Channel, for Pete's sake? You're not going to last very long if you're not wise as serpents and harmless as doves, as a sheep. And then the last part of verse 9 in 1 Peter 5, the Bible says, "It happens to all of us, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." And as I said earlier, because of that, we need each other. A lady just told me this morning that the giant redwoods, the largest living things ever, 300 feet high, if you've ever seen them, They can be 40 feet across. They're massive. And you would think that those redwoods would have very deep roots. They do not. 4 feet deep. Here's how the redwoods stay upright. 4 feet deep, they're close to one another, and the roots connect and join with the roots of the other trees, and they are strong because of that. Folks, we need each other. That's the reason that we come. That's the reason that God established the church. Second of all, the pressures are enormous on all of us. And it's getting worse, not better. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And look at verses 8 and 9. Paul is helping us out here. "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed." First of all, we are troubled on every side. That's simply speaking about minor pressure. It comes from people. It comes from deadlines. It comes from delays. That stoplight not turning green when you think it ought to turn green, or that it shouldn't have turned red with you coming. That's what he's talking about here. It's more irritating than anything. And Tina tells me often, "That stoplight cannot hear you, Kim." Second is perplexed. Perplexed simply means without a way, confusion, not knowing where to go or who to turn to. All you've got to do is talk to kids today. This is where they are. It's brought on generally by unfair treatment, by unfair people. And we have difficulty making sense of it all. Third, we're persecuted. Persecuted suggests being pursued, premeditated. Let's get this person. You will become a target. The Bible says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Christ was very, very clear with us that he didn't come to make life easy. He came to make men and women great. Okay? Fourth, cast down. That's being rejected. One of the hardest emotions with which any of us have to deal. It's the deepest level. It's the ultimate test if we are going to stay true and firm in our faith. David spoke of this in Psalm 55. Go with me there, please. Psalm 55. We'll begin reading in verse 12. We're talking about being rejected. David said, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, that rejected me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me, that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance." Oh, David is hurting here. He's been rejected by somebody that he thought was really his friend. And then old David gets a little bit in the flesh, it seems to me. Maybe not. But look at verse 14 and 15. "We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company." And then verse 15, he says, "Let death seize upon them and let them go down quick into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them." Okay. Third, the temptation in all of this is to overreact in one of two ways. First of all, you just give in. You quit. Life is too short. It's not worth it. Other people that seem to be living way different from me, they seem to be doing a whole lot better than me. It's the crowd that are saying, "You know what? And when we knock on doors, you'll hear this. I used to go to church. I used to teach Sunday school. I used to be a preacher." Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 14 and 15. "Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you. For I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children." And then he says in verse 15, "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." And because of that, it's so easy just to say, "I quit." Okay? On the other hand, we fight back. We intensify all our efforts to the breaking point. We stay true. If God ever wanted to do a significant work, it is now when the days are so dark. Philippians chapter 2, please. Philippians chapter 2. And look at verse 15 and 16. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I'm gonna stay true. I'm going to stay firm in the faith. And then last of all, this is a time for strong resolve. On the one hand, we cannot just sit back and hope for the best. On the other hand, we tend to run faster when we've lost our way. I don't know if any of you have ever been lost, but the tendency is to run faster when you're absolutely lost. I got lost one time when I was deer hunting in West Texas. In West Texas, there's no mountains. There is just flat as a fritter for hundreds of miles. And when you're out there, you have nothing to direct you where you have been. And when you're deer hunting and you're going down the little arroyos looking for deer, well, I got lost. Man, I didn't know where I was. I didn't know which way was back to camp. All my buddies disappeared. And boy, all I could think of was just walk as fast as you can. And then way over there, I saw a figure. I was hoping it was one of my buddies. It was. But you have a tendency to go faster when you've lost your way. These times require strong resolve. Resolve, first of all, to be alert to the presence of evil and the strategy of the adversary. As a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Second of all, resolve to stay fervent in prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Resolve to stay fervent in prayer. Resolve, third, to refuse to retaliate in the energy of the flesh. I want you to go with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 16 and 17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Walk in the Spirit. Fourth of all, resolve to refuse to slacken, to surrender, or quit the path of obedience, no matter how intense the pressure becomes. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And then last of all, resolve to seek to glorify the Lord God and to trust the Word of God regardless of what happens. Let's pray. Father, how very thankful we are for your wonderful Word. and the clear direction that it gives to us. And it defines the age in which we are living. It tells us exactly how things are. We have not been caught unawares. Your word tells us this is how it is. And we listen to it on television and we read it on the internet and we say, oh my goodness, oh God, help us. Help us to love you and help us to love others and help us to live for you and to be a good testimony to other people. Father, if there's someone here this morning that's never been saved, we would love to show them how to go to heaven. It's a simple thing. Praying a simple prayer, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. Father, thank you for your wonderful love. Thank you for the cross. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for that still small voice that speaks to us when we're listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen.